If you are looking for a wedding podcast that's not just fun but goes a little deep, then you have found it. We're the Feel Good Wedding Podcast by Polka Dot Wedding, and my name is Dorothy, and I am also known as Miss Polka Dot. I am the founder and editor of Polka Dot Wedding, and I have been writing about weddings for 16 years. The Feel Good Wedding Podcast dives a little deeper than the stories. Of course, we tell the stories. We tell plenty of them. But we're also talking about vendor advice. We're also talking about business advice, and we're also diving a little deeper beyond those stories. We're diving into the mistakes and the I wish I did's, and the problems and the qualms that these couples have, and that vendors have too. We've got so much in store. We're jumping into season two, and we can't wait to have you along for the ride. Keep on listening, and we'd love to hear from you, so make sure you stick around. The Polka Dot Wedding team is honoured to conduct our work on the land of the Boonwurrung, Woi Wurrung, Eora, and Kurungi people. We honour the traditional Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander custodians of the land, and we pay our respects to elders past and present. We know, wedding photography is so intimidating, because how do you find a wedding photographer that masters how you want your day captured, whether that's moody or light and bright, to someone that also makes you and your partner feel so comfortable in front of the camera when really you're probably the complete opposite? Well, we have asked Melbourne wedding photographer Leo Farrell along today to help us out. We have been featuring Leo on Polka Dot Wedding for over a decade, and I've always loved his beautiful, candid approach to weddings. He has this mastery of being able to capture those moments that you don't even think are important, but will be important to you, so crucially important in years to come. Now, Leo knows a thing or two about photography, so of course he is an expert on this subject. So we've asked him along today to share all the ins and outs you need to know. How do you book a photographer that you're comfortable with? What happens after the wedding? And what do you really need to pay special attention to? Leo is going to share all of this and more, coming right up on the Feel Good Wedding Podcast. Leo, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm so thrilled to chat to you all about wedding photography.
My pleasure, Dorothy. So thrilled to be here. Thanks so much for asking me.
So let's introduce you. Tell me all about who is Leo Farrell. How did you get into photography? How long have you been shooting and all that good stuff?
I'm Melbourne born and bred, living on the north side of the tracks. Kind of grew up with a love of cinema, I think through my father. Loved a lot of classic old movies. Actually just went to see Casablanca recently. One of his idols was Humphrey Bogart, and so that was great watching that at Thalberry Theatre. So I think from early on I had a love of life through the lens, and then I think I was also a really keen camper with friends when I was younger, and I loved kind of having a camera out in the wild, just trying to, I suppose, bring home a little bit of what I was seeing when I was on camping trips. And then I think from there, my sister was studying photography at high school, and she brought home some prints, some black and white prints that she processed through her film camera, and they were of my grandfather. And I was really struck by kind of the beautiful tactile nature of the prints and just the whole process, kind of as she described it, and the mystery of the darkroom. And so that kind of led me further down a bit of a photography rabbit hole.
And you started out with aerial photography, didn't you?
Yeah, so I did do some aerial photography. So I was doing some assisting at a photographic studio early on, and one thing led to another, and I came across another photographer who was looking for someone to capture some rural properties from a light aeroplane. This was back in the film days. I'd always loved that aerial perspective and the abstract nature of seeing the landscape from the sky, so I was really thrilled to try out for that job, and I ended up getting it and worked as an aerial photographer for about 12 months, flying with the door off an aeroplane and just kind of wearing a seatbelt to strap me in and while I was kind of leaning out. It was loads of fun, a real incredible adventure job.
So what led you to get from aerial, which is very, very different, to
yes.
weddings?
So the aerial job had a limited kind of shelf life. It was about three weeks away and 1 week at home. And the company was actually naturally winding up after about 12 months of me having done that. So I came back to Melbourne and was doing some work in studios, which is where I kind of learned a lot about lighting. So even, you know, using indoor lighting, you know, you're really conscious about where you want your light to be placed. And I use the same kind of concepts when I'm working with the sun. It's kind of using one light source when I'm photographing couples. But so I was doing some work in studios. I assisted a friend on a wedding a couple of times and just really enjoyed the way that the day unfolds with a wedding. And I really like photojournalistic photography and kind of thought that would be something I'd be able to do within the kind of confines of a wedding day to really kind of capture it in a documentary kind of style. And I didn't really think that anyone else was doing that at the time.
Well, way back in the time, it was very unusual to not do posed photography. I still remember.
Yes.
Way back.
Yes. So, yeah, it felt like quite a revelation to me at the time to kind of be shooting in that way and just really enjoyable. And I felt like it had a really low impact on the couples as well, which is really important. I think that actually helps get some really good photos for the couple.
100%. And the wedding photographer, I suppose alongside the cinematographer, are the two vendors that spend the most time with the couple on the day.
Yes.
And I think the role in some ways is underplayed because it's not necessarily just the role of clicking the camera. So there's lots of little unseen things that you do. So what do you consider your role as a photographer on a wedding day?
Well, there's a few roles. I mean, the main one I feel is actually to be a really unobtrusive observer, and also to not be someone that the couple have to worry about. They don't, you know, I don't want them to feel like I'm someone they need to manage on the day. I actually want to make their day easy and stress-free. So, yeah, I see my minimal input in a maximum way, if that makes sense. And in terms of working with a videographer, for example, if it was someone I hadn't worked with before, I would call them leading up to the wedding, just have a brief chat, introduce myself, talk about how I want us to work together so that we can both get the best results, the best video and the best photos for the couple. And that kind of would pertain to, you know, just talking about being conscious about where each other are on the day and yeah, literally on the day, you know, for example, during the ceremony, just having a brief chat about where we're both going to be positioned so that we're not in each other's firing line. And if we are in each other's firing line, just to be conscious of it and just kind of subtly move out of each other's way. So, yeah, so just a general awareness of each other. And then also if I, for example, saw a tender moment or a really nice moment that was happening, if the videographer was close by but wasn't noticing, I might give them a nudge and just to make sure that they could capture it as well. So that all those things are being considered and the couple's really getting the best outcome from both of us.
Yeah. And as a photographer, you do almost a lot of leading of the day too, because you're there and you're guiding them through the photos and you're guiding them through the different parts.
Yeah, so I think the initial meetings with a couple are really important because I find talking through a timeline of the day and talking through their expectations of the day and how I can meet those expectations. But timings are really, so there's a few things to unpack there, but for a start, timings will really help guide the couple in terms of how the photography is going to work within the schedule of the venue. And it will also, just so they're conscious of how much time certain things will take, when we can, like how long the wedding party photos will take, how long the couple photos will take, and how we can best fit that into the schedule.
So starting at the beginning, what are the kinds of things a couple needs to know about booking a wedding photographer? So what are the first basic questions they should ask and where should they start in that sense?
I think the first questions are how do they want to be represented on their wedding day? What sort of photos are they looking for? Are they looking for, say, for example, like a documentary style where they would like the day to be captured as it unfolds in a really unposed manner? And that might even continue on through their couple photos. So they want them to feel really relaxed and unposed, or would they prefer to have something that is more posed and more guided by the photographer? So more set up, maybe it involves some lighting at times. Yeah, so a lot more structure in terms of their couple photos and their wedding party photos and family photos. That's probably a little bit more of an editorial style. So someone like a Jerome Cole might be someone who is, you know, he does things like these Vanity Fair style wedding party portraits. So there's a lot of consideration going into, you know, the background, the way that everyone's positioned in the frame. So that kind of thing.
So how should we begin our research then when we're looking for a photographer? Is it just a matter of scrolling and trying to find something that appeals to us, or is there more to it?
I think if you do have a clear idea of, like, if you want, for example, a documentary style or an editorial style, you could actually literally search those hashtags on, you know, Instagram, for example, or Google them, and that will give you a starting point. And then it's a matter of looking through photographers' work just to see if that vibe and that style is what you're looking for. So that would be a really good starting point. Also, I think if you've had friends who have been married and you've seen their photos, and if they resonate with you, that's always a good position to start at as well. So a really good strong referral from a friend, or even if you know someone in the industry, or if they're speaking to their celebrant. Celebrants have a reasonable eye for the different styles that different photographers have, and so they could also be a good referral point too.
So there's a common phrase that couples will use: "Oh, we're not photogenic. You know, we need to find a photographer who can get our best angles and all this kind of stuff." And my theory is, it's actually not about the couple being photogenic. It's more about how comfortable you are with a photographer. And so I think comfort is a key part of finding a photographer that you're going to gel with easily on the day. So is that right? Am I completely off the mark
there? No, I think that's completely right. I think you have to feel comfortable. You have to feel like you're on the same page with the photographer. Does their personality work for you? Yeah, do you feel like you're being heard by your photographer and what your needs are? And yeah, I think the fact that if you do get along well with your photographer, that will definitely go a long way to getting some really nice photos. Not that it's on the
it's not on the websites, is it really? That's like, oh, I'm a nice person.
No. So it's definitely worth having a meeting, whether it's in person or over Zoom or several meetings, just to make sure that your personalities gel together and that you feel comfortable with this person capturing your photos.
Are there questions that we should be asking at the first meeting then to ensure that there is comfort, or is it more about how do we get on? Should we be looking for something that's like quite an easy relationship, that kind of thing?
I think it's probably interesting to ask what their approach is with the couple photos and the wedding party photos, because I think if you are conscious about being photographed and the way that their explanation for how they photograph couples is to be really guided and very structured, that's probably not going to make you feel very relaxed.
So
I think that's probably a good starting point in terms of whatever their approach is to their couple photos, just to make sure that that's on the same page as what you're expecting. So I think if you were personally, I would feel like if I knew my photographer was going to take the lead in where we were going and was had scouted the locations, had then also sent the locations through to the couple so that they were all on the same page and they'd agreed on which backgrounds they really liked, that's giving you confidence already that the photographer is really prepared for the couple shoot and gives you trust in them. And then also if they're going to say, well, we'll go for a walk, I want to see a connection between you, I'm going to get you walking and talking, engaging with each other, I'll give you some basic direction, but pretty much I'm just going to be snapping away while you're engaging with each other. I think that's probably more of an approach that will make people feel more comfortable who are quite conscious about being photographed.
Yep. And you mentioned earlier photography style. So how would you explain photography style to a couple that perhaps has no idea what that concept is? And can you kind of talk us through a few of the different styles, etc., that we can expect to see in photography in Australia nowadays?
There's kind of photography styles and there's also kind of photography treatments. So styles probably relates more to, from my understanding, would relate more to what sort of photos is the photographer actually going to be capturing? Are they going to be posed, or are they going to be unstaged, or are they going to be candid, natural photos? And sometimes, like, for example, my style is very documentary, so very much capturing the day as it unfolds, being really unobtrusive. But I will still capture some pose photos, for example, the family photos. But someone who is a more of a posed photographer, they'll be setting up and staging not just the family photos, but probably some of the getting ready photos, most of the couple photos, as well as the wedding party photos. So I suppose it's understanding which way you lean, what you want that outcome to be with those kind of key photos and moments.
And you mentioned treatments too, which I know, like, there's that really light and bright, airy look down there,
right,
that is almost film-like, and there's moody as well. So are there variations in that? What are the kinds of treatments that we're seeing nowadays?
Yeah, so someone like, say, Dan O'Day, for example, is more on the kind of darker, moodier side. Like, his work's really, really stunning. So quite artistic, yeah. So the overall tone in the images is darker, more on the dark side. But, you know, for some people, like, that really appeals to them. Like, I personally love it.
Yeah.
And then there is also, like, a lighter area, maybe you could possibly say more romantic kind of lighting, yeah, I suppose. And so some couples, you know, some couples might just feel like they want their day, they might associate lighter tones with more fun, as opposed to the darker and moodier is probably a little bit more artistic. So just that can also just be depending on what their aesthetic is and which way they lean to from that perspective.
And speaking of lighting plays a huge part in a wedding day, I presume, as a photographer. So tell me about the role that lighting plays, especially when you're winter, summer, daylight savings, all of that kind of stuff as well.
Yeah, so daylight savings is probably the easiest time to photograph a wedding for a photographer, in terms of you've got light all day, so it's much less of a concern. Although if you are having your ceremony very early in the day, like kind of the midday sun, that light, the direction of the light can be quite harsh, and so is not as flattering on people's faces. So generally most ceremonies are a little bit later in the day anyway. In terms of winter weddings, because, you know, it may be getting dark by 5:30, and some couples' wedding might be scheduled for 5 o'clock or 4:30. It doesn't really give you much time after the ceremony for couple photos. So quite often I'll discuss with couples about having their photos beforehand, before the ceremony actually starts. So that's definitely an option worth exploring, and definitely something to ask your photographer in terms of timing if you're organising a winter wedding. And that can also incorporate a first look as well, which can be a really nice thing to have. So, and again, that would be something that I would ask the photographer, if that's the case, if you're going to be doing a first look, what locations do they have in mind, where do they think is going to be the best place to do that. And also I would ask them if they have some photos of that location so that they can share, so that you're actually on board with what their vision is.
So what are the items when it comes to photography that couples really need to pay attention to, so that everyone has clear expectations about the day and everyone knows what's happening and there's no sort of surprises popping up?
Timelines on the day are really important. So timings of, you know, where the photographer's going to be, what time is he going to be at each of the couple's houses if they're doing getting ready photos or locations, you know, what time they're going to arrive at the ceremony. Will it be half an hour prior to the ceremony? Will it be 5 minutes prior to the ceremony? How long has been allocated for the couple photos and the wedding party photos? You know, the timings of the speeches, the first dance, all of those things need to be clearly communicated, you know, between the couple and the photographer. And then the photographer ideally should touch base with the couple on the day. Just little reminders, you know, oh, yeah, we discussed, you know, ducking out at sunset. I'll keep an eye on the light. We're aiming at, you know, 7:45. But if the speeches are going to be pulled forward, should we aim to do that at 7:30? We can still get some really nice low light kind of images. So just being clear in communication and expectations. Sunset photos are a really good thing to talk about with your photographer if that's something that you would really like. And also just planning so that there is enough time to do that, or making them early enough so that you can adjust if need be, if timings do get changed, if things are running late on the night. You know, the photographer should still take the lead in following up and reminding the couple of when it's happening and if things are still on track.
And so we've met with our photographer, we've decided we're comfortable with them, and the next thing is packages. And photographers generally base their packages on a set number of hours, so it'll be 10 to 12 hours, etc. So can you demystify this a bit for us? What should we think about when it comes to hours with our wedding coverage? Are more hours better? If we're going to minimize the hours, should we cut off getting ready, or is the reception more important? What do we have to think about when it comes to this?
I think if you're looking to have the getting ready photos of the couple beforehand, leading all the way through to most of the reception, that's probably going to be about 8 hours pretty consistently.
Yeah.
You know, if you weren't as interested in the getting ready photos and it was more important to cover the reception, then, you know, it might be a few hours less. If you wanted the photographer to be there right until the big, you know, the end of the night, that might be 10 hours or 10 or 11 hours. And most photographers, you know, have flexibility within their packages. They might have some base packages and then you can add on extra hours depending on, you know, what your needs are. So I suppose it's really just about for the couple, what's most important for them to capture. If they wanted to cut things down, you know, is it more important to have things at the earlier part of the day? Are they going to have important family members when they're getting ready and they want that captured and they're less fussed about having speeches captured? Or are they not bothered about the getting ready photos and they'd rather have more time at the reception? The speeches might be really important to them, depending on who's making them, and they want to capture all of that emotion if they think it's going to be a really emotional time, people's reactions, yeah. And then, you know, first dance and some dancing. Maybe they've got something planned on the dance floor that they really want captured. So I suppose it's whatever where they feel that they're the most important moments for them will be.
I know, especially years ago, a lot of photographers would leave very early on in the reception. Is it worth spending that extra money to have a photographer stay almost the full length, or does it become, I suppose the dance floor can become redundant after a while, like there's only so many dance floor shots you can take?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think it's worth staying for the reception. I kind of would normally advise, roughly it works out to be around about 10 o'clock, and I feel like by that stage all the speeches have been covered. The first dance, if the couple are doing a first dance, plus, you know, a good half an hour or 40 minutes of some dance floor action, and maybe even a couple of moody pics with a spotlight outside. I quite often encourage couples to step outside for a few minutes just to really try and soak in the day, have a few moments together, and I'll snap a couple of photos that are more on the moodier side and that are kind of a really nice way to kind of end the story of the day, and also makes for a really nice couple of last final images if they're ordering a fine art book or a wedding album.
So how does the wedding day usually unfold for a couple? Because I know it starts much earlier than a lot of people realise, really, with a photographer.
So if we're doing some getting ready photos, it would, you know, be between half an hour and from, you know, with myself, it would be between half an hour and an hour, depending on how much is happening. And it would be, you know, capturing a few details of, you know, dresses or suits, as well as the interactions with the family and friends that are present when the couple are getting ready, and through to, you know, getting outfits on and then heading out the door. So then the photographer would be going, I'd be going to the other partner, and then following on to arriving at the wedding ceremony about normally about half an hour, just to capture some details at the wedding ceremony site, set the scene, capture the guests arriving, and if either of the couple are greeting guests beforehand, then just capturing that, and then waiting for the arrival of whichever partner hasn't arrived at the wedding, capturing that arrival all the way through the ceremony, kind of post-ceremony congrats, really lovely emotion, any kind of family photos and group photos if needed, followed then by bridal party or wedding party photos, couple photos, then normally a little bit of a break for the couple while they go into they have their entry into the reception traditionally, followed by some speeches, a lot of mingling with guests during the reception, might move into some first dance and general dance floor action, and again, maybe ending with some spotlights, some moody pics at the end of the day. So, yeah, and as I said, the photographer should just have a few little touch points during the day, just, you know, maybe reminding the couple of where they'll be next so that there are no surprises And it's all kind of as they've discussed earlier in the timeline during their meetings.
It's a big day for you working.
It is. It's very busy. And I think the other thing is if the couple have got, you know, some elderly relatives, maybe some grandparents or a particular aunt and uncle or some siblings, I might prompt them at one point and say, you know, would you like to go and have a chat with your grandfather or your aunt or yeah. whoever? And I can just snap away and get a couple of photos. And sometimes that's because we may, you know, with things earlier in the day, might have got a couple of photos, but it's nice just to make sure you've got a couple of extra ones if that was a really key person to them in their lives and they really,
yeah.
it was really important for them to have some photos on the day.
And speaking of those important photos, I know a lot of wedding websites years ago used to say you've got to give your photographer a shot list, like, you know, me hugging mum and me walking down the aisle, which I understand photographers don't need. But then there's the formal portrait sort of thing where you need to probably have someone in charge of the list of who do I desperately need formal portraits with, you know, the grandmother portraits that they'll sit on top of the piano. So how does a shot list play? Do we need to do a shot list at all? Is it redundant now?
I mean, I still sometimes, some couples still give me a shot list with some of those important moments, and I don't mind that at all. It usually is all the things that I would be capturing.
Yeah.
But if the couple feels kind of safer making sure that they have written those out and give them to their photographer, then by all means I encourage them to do that. In terms of the family grouping shots, definitely I always encourage them to write a list out so that we're super clear on who all of the different people are in the different groupings. It makes it really efficient for when it comes time to capturing those. And I also encourage them to nominate a person, either a family member or a close friend, who knows who all of those people are on the list, and basically give them the responsibility of rounding them up so that myself and the couple don't have to run around the venue trying to find, yes. you know, Uncle Arthur. And it just means we can be really efficient with those photos, because quite often the couple, while it's important for them to get them, they want to get them and get them done so then they can move on to the next part of the day. So any assistance in rounding people up and being organised with that makes the couple a lot happier.
Of course. And the portrait session. This can often be the most nerve-wracking part of the day if you're feeling awkward in front of the camera.
Yes.
So when it comes to the couples feeling comfortable with photography, how does that play out, and what can we do to make the best shots possible during our portrait session, whether that's before the ceremony or after?
I think it does start back at the meeting. I think it starts with your rapport with your photographer, and I think it's about knowing that where to start with, you know exactly where you're going to be going, so you're going to be efficient with your time, so that worrying about the time is not an issue for you, because that can make you feel a little bit stressed and not as relaxed. So knowing that you've got enough time, coordinating, speaking about that with your photographer, and also knowing where you're going so that you're really certain about where you're going. And that also means you would have discussed those locations with the photographer beforehand, and you're really happy with where you're going. So you feel really good about where you're going as well. So there's an element of control that the couple actually have. So they know they're going into that session already knowing that we know how much time we've got. We know that locations, we've already approved them and they're really beautiful. And so it's really, they just have to worry about themselves. And from a photographer's perspective, my job is to really just make them feel as relaxed as possible and keep things really low key. So having done all that prep work, that makes me feel confident that we can just go for a wander with a couple. I can say, let's head over this direction. I'm already making the decisions about where the light is, where I want the couple to be heading. And also just give them some basic directions about where I want them to go and let them kind of wander off and give them some space and just let them kind of feel connected together. And so I'll guide them in a few different directions and, you know, maybe ask them to come a little bit closer, just kind of step away. And as soon as anything does start to feel like a tiny bit awkward, you know, then move on to another location. But just encouraging a discussion, a chat, being close together, all of those kind of things, little hints from me every now and again, just keeps things feeling kind of really natural and yeah, it just kind of shows the connection of the couple.
And so it keeps coming back to me that so much of the success of the way that your wedding is captured with your photographer comes back to that comfort and that trust that you just have to have in them.
Yes.
You have to find that in the first place. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's just that for the couple, knowing that the photographer is being really professional, they've done all the planning yeah. and all the work beforehand, and that will just make them feel really confident on the day that the photographer's got it sorted.
And I think when you say the work beforehand, so many people think wedding photography is just about showing up on the day and capturing stuff with a camera, whereas we know that there is a lot more to it. So can you debunk some of the backroom logistics for me, such as delivery times, what we can expect with that, the backup plans? Because your wedding day, of course, doesn't end when you walk out the door. There's you're doing your backups and your downloads and all that kind of stuff, wedding albums, what to do in case of illness. Like, there's so much more to it. Can you sort of talk through some of the stuff that you have to deal with for a wedding beyond the capturing of the moment?
Yeah, so, you know, there's, you know, everything from organising all of your equipment beforehand, making sure everything's charged, you know, making sure you've got, you know, lighting equipment in case you might have some dark areas, say, for example, during the speeches or even the ceremony, if something gets moved from outside to inside in an unexpected area, just knowing that you've got lighting on hand if you need. And definitely for speeches, for first dance, you know, lighting can really add a nice extra element of mood with lighting. So, you know, you've got all of that planned and ready in the car. You know, after the ceremony, there's kind of managing a lot of gear, a lot of different lenses, so that you're capturing the couple from different perspectives with wider angle lenses and with longer lenses. After the wedding, you know, there is a lot of backing up of all of the files. So, you know, I back all the files up in three different locations for redundancy purposes, and then also have to go through and cull through the images, you know, prepare a highlights gallery so that there's, you know, some really lovely moments from throughout the day for the couple to revisit and share within a day or two of the wedding. I feel like that's, you know, really important for them to be able to receive that and be able to share that with family and friends while the excitement is still really fresh. And then in terms of processing all of or culling all of the images and then processing them, that also takes quite a bit of time. And on top of the fact that photographer may have been shooting, you know, other weddings that weekend, so they're doing highlight, they're doing backing up, and they're doing, you know, highlight reels for maybe two or three other weddings on that weekend. So that then kind of plays out to, you know, needing multiple weeks to be able to process, edit, and process all of the images for the various couples. So that can be, you know, anywhere between 3 weeks to, you know, 5 or 6 weeks, and longer for some. You know, I've heard of, you know, much longer wait times for other photographers too, depending on workload.
Especially in times of COVID, when workload has tripled in some cases.
Yes, that's right. Absolutely. And probably longer for video, I think.
Yes. So is that the timeline after the wedding day? We've got potentially a sneak peek if our photographer offers that, which may be up to a week, I suppose, after the wedding, and then we're waiting for the editing after that. And then perhaps an album. Is that the sort of way the timeline falls into play?
Yeah, that's right. So once the couple have received all of their photos, that's when they can start making selections for their album. Yeah, so the album definitely doesn't come. The album's definitely the last kind of piece of the puzzle.
So the keeping the mementos and making sure we actually have these images tangibly, if that's important to us, is often key with our wedding photography. When it comes to wedding albums, what are the things we should know when it comes to the files, the digital files, the way that they're received, the prints, the albums, all that kind of after wedding tangible stuff?
So prints are normally available to purchase through the photographer, as well as...
Yep.
Sorry, I should take a step back. So the photographer would usually provide high-res images and low-res images. So the low-res images are great for social media, for emailing, because the files are very small, and the high-res images are ideal for printing. So the couple usually are able to print their own images, but the photographer would also provide, most photographers would also provide possibly like a fine art option where they can order through their online gallery And they can those sorts of images or those sorts of prints will be on archival paper that has archival inks. So they're designed to, they're really high quality. They're designed to be able to last for decades. And similarly with fine art books, the inks that they use in fine art books are designed to last for generations so that they can be a keepsake for the couple. And the ordering of that is normally done like through a gallery process, kind of selecting images from their gallery. And then the photographer then, whether themselves or through a designer, will design the album. And then that's sent back, usually electronically, where the couple can then proof the different albums, the various spreads and make adjustments or suggest adjustments to be made until they come to a final agreement on the look of the album.
And there are quite a few things we can do with wedding photos too, aren't there? Because I know a lot of photographers will offer guest access through those galleries where guests can order prints.
Absolutely.
And then there's things like parents' albums and such. So are there any things we need to know about all those extras, or is it all just sort of fun stuff that we can add on at the end?
I mean, some photographers would include some of those things in their various packages, and some are things that they can add on at the end. And I'm sure for most photographers, you don't have to purchase a fine art book prior to the wedding, but they may offer a slightly discounted price if you did choose to purchase one prior to the wedding, and it may be, you know, slightly more expensive if they purchase it after the wedding.
So is there anything else we need to keep in mind when we're thinking about our wedding photography and we're trying to make sure it's the best possible outcome for us on our wedding day?
I think probably the main thing is making sure that this, like what we spoke about earlier about the style of photography, it is what you're looking for. And so I think that goes to when you're looking through a photographer's work, not just looking at the first few images on the website, but kind of looking through if a photographer has like blog posts where or portfolios where they've got, you know, like 100 or so images from a wedding, look through all of those images and see if it's more than just a couple images that you like. Make sure it's like the full gallery that you feel really in tune with, because that's a really good representation of the work if you're seeing a full blog post that's got, say, 100 images. And just, you know, you can really see if a photographer's got a really consistent sense of style. And kind of by that, sometimes some people might have some really bright photos, some really dark ones. Like you probably want your images to look pretty consistent generally. And just, you know, some photographers may have a couple of good couple shots, but then they may not have many good shots of guests mingling or other important parts of the day that you feel aren't really represented. So maybe that you could ask some question about that or seek out someone whose body of work has that consistency all the way through, just to make sure that you know that all parts of the day that are really important to you will be captured in a way that really aligns with your own view.
I think that's really important to look beyond the highlights reel, as to use an Instagram term, and look really, like you said, to the full wedding, just to make sure that, especially if it's a similar, if you're getting married in winter, perhaps looking for a wedding that takes place in winter on the photographer's website or something like that, that maybe, because winter light, as you said, is really difficult and it might be difficult for that photographer. So you want to make sure that they're kind of able to capture it the way you want. So full gallery is a great tip.
Yeah, definitely with winter, you do, it is quite a different experience. And the photographer is dealing with more lighting challenges than in a summer wedding. So, if would be good to ask them if they've got some winter wedding examples specifically, just to, if that's going to be your situation, just so that you're confident that they're confident in what they're doing. Absolutely.
Or churches, mind you, because churches can be very, very dark.
Yes, they can. So, yeah.
Very challenging.
Yeah. And I suppose you're looking for a photographer who is, proficient in all different sorts of lighting conditions.
Yeah.
Because you literally don't know what's going to happen on the day. Things, the weather might be really forecast to be, quite bright and sunny, but then by the time the day comes, it might be really overcast and dark, and that can leave a church much darker than it would have been otherwise. So, you really need to be able to deal with that situation, on the spot.
Definitely. It takes a lot of skill to do that. Well, Leo, thank you so much for joining me today and sharing everything you know about wedding photography and all your wisdom. It's been such a useful chat.
My pleasure, Dorothy. I hope I've been some help.
I'm sure you've been so much help.
Thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you. The biggest of thank yous to Leo for joining us today. I'm sure you're going to want to book him, so head on over to weddingpodcast.com.au where you can find out all the information you need. We've also got a written transcript of today's episode, as well as, of course, all the links to Leo's websites and contact information. Now, you know that we love your feedback on the Feel Good Wedding Podcast, so make sure you write us a review, send us a message, or send us an Instagram message, because we'd love to hear from you and we'd love to hear your feedback on what you want to see going forward. We'll be back in another 2 weeks with another great episode for you.